All right, Joe. Vanek Drury, Pominville Briere in 06-07. Do you know what I'm getting at?
No, that was the line. Okay, 06-07. Thomas Vanek.
They were the last ones to do it.
Nah, I don't.
Sabres have 430 goal scorers for the first time since 2006-2007. Oh. When those four did it. You got Thompson, Tuck, Cousins, Skinner this year. 430 goal scorers for the first time. So, I mean, look, there's reason to be optimistic.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm optimistic about the team. You look at the team.
Yeah.
And you want to, and you would have a lot of reason to feel good about where they're going. At the same time, 12 straight years of not being in the playoffs.
Yeah.
When half the teams in the league make the playoffs.
Well, when you put it that way, yes, that's
12 straight years that you can't even be in the top half of teams.
But, you know, I think at the end of this season, we have an answer to a question, and maybe I'm wrong, Brian, that we didn't have this time last year. And that is, I think the Sabres know their goaltending situation going into next season.
Maybe.
I'm just saying, it looks promising at goaltending. That has been a big question over this team.
Yeah, I mean, it looks promising. I don't know if they know who their goalie is next year. A week ago, everyone would have said, he's in Rochester next year. Levi.
Yeah.
And what, 1 week? Now we're going to change our plan for October of next year?
In high-stress situations?
I don't know. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I don't know if you totally have that answer figured out. Maybe you do. Maybe you do. I don't know. I want to be optimistic. I am optimistic. I'll be there Thursday, you know.
Fan Appreciation Day tomorrow.
Give a big round of applause, you know. Thanks for coming out, guys. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I am. People like to say, well, no one was expecting this team to make the play. I was. Yes, I was. I was expecting this team to make the play because they, you know, we said all these things last year. You know, there was reason for promise.
Yes.
You're being optimistic. People are going to grow. And they did. I mean, I don't know how much more you expect out of these guys who are scoring 40-plus, you know, Tage Thompson near 50 goals. Jeff Skinner, more points than he's had. He's played almost 1,000 games. He will hit next year if he plays at least 70 games, 1,000 games without playing once in the playoffs, Jeff Skinner.
Wow.
I've never been done. Record. Put up a banner. How much better can you expect him to be? He was great, but like, is he going to be better than this? Like, if he's better than this, he's one of the best players. He's like the best player in the league. So I'm not expecting him to be better than this year. I am optimistic about the team. I would have said the same thing at the end of last year. Yes, I did expect them to be in the playoffs because you know who gets in the playoffs? Half the teams in the NHL get in the playoffs.
Yep.
I was expecting them to be pretty good, and they almost made it, you know, to their credit.
If it was like the NBA and there was a play-in tournament, the Buffalo Sabres would be in the playoffs. Look,
it doesn't count. It doesn't count. I don't want cheap playoffs either. Expanded playoffs, like all this stuff. I was glad the Bills made it before they added another team.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like you really actually did it.
I agree with you. However, at the same time, I do think the play-in tournament in the NBA is very exciting.
Every team has played at least 25 playoff games since the Sabres were last in the playoffs. At least 25. A bunch of teams have played 50. A bunch of teams have played 100 playoff games since the Sabres were last in the playoffs.
31
except
teams?
Except for Seattle.
Okay.
But they just made the playoffs this year. They will be in the playoffs this year. Who they weren't even a glimmer in Gary Bettman's eye the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs.
The Las Vegas Knights made the Stanley Cup.
They've played over 25 playoff games since the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs.
That is insane.
And they weren't even a team.
The Winnipeg Jets?
Yeah.
That is insane.
Every team.
That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, it stinks. Like that, you want to be optimistic, and I am. You want to say, I had a lot of fun watching the team. I did.
But you can't ignore that 12 years.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Like, give me a freaking break. Like, 12 years without even, like, accidentally making the playoffs. Like, you know what I mean? They had a year in 2020 when they were like, yeah, just like everyone, come on down. Not you, Buffalo.
If they would have won that game that got canceled.
Yeah. And if they would have won last night, they would still be in it today.
I'm just saying, if they would have allowed them to play the Canadians, they would have been heading up to the bubble during COVID.
And if they would have not stunk just once in the last decade, we wouldn't be talking about that here.
Or just not as stunk as bad, because as you said, half the teams make the playoffs.
That's right. Like, it's hard to do. It is very hard to do. I'm optimistic about the team. I bought tickets for next year. Yeah. Like, I am optimistic about the team. At the same time, like, that is absolutely ridiculous. It has done such damage to hockey in Buffalo, to the Sabres in Buffalo. It's not even funny. Like, I was thinking about this yesterday. I mean, my friends, like, I'm back into it. Like, I'm flying the flag. We're talking about the Sabres every day. I mean, the texts are going all the time.
Yep.
You know, I'm sitting here talking to you about, like, hey, can we, like, get Tom Wilson from the Capitol? Like, what do you think it would take? And, like, so, like, the people who are into it are back. I have no doubt the arena will fill up more so next year. And it already has, like, on weekends and, you know, some of these bigger games. It's electric in there again. It feels good. But outside of that, you got a ways to go to get people interested again. Because yeah. It's been 12 years.
It's going to take a playoff run.
Well, yeah. Or maybe more so. Yeah. I mean, 12 years without the play, I mean, that does a lot of damage. The buzz, I will say this, the buzz in the arena is back on, you know, a lot of nights now. It's back within hockey fans. The buzz around the community is not back yet.
No, I mean, remember, after the bankruptcy year, it took the Eastern Conference Finals to finally get Buffalo back into it. And they were into it for a long time, even a few seasons into this 12-year drought. But as that got longer and extended, and there were some miserable seasons in this 12-year run. Yeah, it's going to take a run in the playoffs. Like you said, you're back in it. I'm back in. I'm excited. But it's going to take that run, like the year after the lockout.
Yeah, I'm the only one in my neighborhood with the Sabres flag out. Like,
good.
That's like the buzz is not back. I'm there. I'm flying the flag. But you gotta, I mean, let's go here. So it just turns I'll be rooting against the Leafs. I want them to lose in seven, though, so they can win a few games. And I'll be rooting against Vegas. I want them to win zero games. I hope Jack Eichel gets 0 points.
Why do you want the Leafs to go to seven? I'm interested.
It's just more funny when they lose in game seven again.
At home.
Yeah, like, yeah. That would just be great.
Yeah.
Are they at home? Are they hosting that? I think they are.
Yeah, I believe so.
Hosting that series. Yeah, that's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
Just like losing right out. No. You want to give the hope, have them yet again losing game seven in the first round would be great. So that I'll be watching over the next few weeks. And, you know, like I said, I want to feel good about the Sabres. I want to. I look at that 12. Just, oh my, I want to throw this metal water bottle through the window. Just to air out the room, really. Honestly, it's getting a little toasty.
It really, this
9 o'clock, it turned, we go from just like the Arctic to 9 o'clock, it's, we're the
complete 180.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
By the way, before we get into this, you ever realize people say 360 when they mean 180? I feel smart when I can call someone out on that. They'll say, oh, did a complete 360. No, you mean 180.
Yeah. No yelling. No cursing. No phones, 30 seconds, Joe. Those are the rules of School Fight Club in Florida. And 803-0930 is where you reach us this morning. I'm a little conflicted this morning. So here's the story. A teacher in Florida being accused of organizing fights at a middle school over in Tallahassee. Right? This is from WCTV, which has the story out. She's a teacher at the middle school, now facing charges for contributing to the delinquency of a minor for organizing these fights inside of her classroom. The documents note that students were being allowed to fight inside the classroom. They have videos, which, I mean, she said one of the rules is no phones, but there's videos of these fights. Several sixth grade girls telling detectives they participated in planned fights during school hours, and we're invited back for additional fights, like any good promoter would do, right? And they reported, and you could hear it in the video, that the teacher made statements, quote, 30 seconds, no screaming, no yelling, no phones. That was the rule of Fight Club inside this school. Now, she is in trouble, this teacher. With the law, not going to have a job after this. I am not convinced that this is necessarily a bad idea. Angel Footman is the name of the teacher. She was shown in the videos sitting at her desk while this fight was going on. She was like the passive referee. She didn't break up the fight. She said, no screaming, stop pulling hair, is what she said. She didn't report the fights to administrators or tell anybody. But this was her way of settling some of these in-school beefs. Or you know what it probably is? Online grudges that carry over into school that cause these sprawling fights. So her idea was, all right, I'm gonna let you two have a problem with each other. You can fight in my classroom. How many? You can bring 10 onlookers, spectators over here. You gotta sit in the desks. We'll clear out the desks. You have a circle. You have 30 seconds. Which,
who breaks it up after 30 seconds? Does she get in there?
I don't know, the air horn or something. the bell rings. But in 30 seconds is, you know, like 30 seconds, is that going to do it? That's a long time.
Yeah, I'd be on the floor.
To be in the fight swinging.
I'd be on the floor.
You have 30 seconds, and you can get rid of all your problems right here. That was her philosophy that now has her in trouble. I don't know if I disagree with that philosophy. And everything, you know, about you would want to say running a fight club inside of school hours is probably a bad idea. But I kind of agree with where this teacher is coming from. She's saying, look, you know, if this was here, look, I don't want the library to be closed down for 2 weeks after school because everyone's taking these sprawling fights and bringing them outside or having problems in the hallways or someone gets hit by a punch or it could escalate even more than just fists. Someone brings a weapon in or something crazy happens and it disrupts the entire school day. Oh, let's settle this right here in the classroom and be done with it. And I don't know if I necessarily think that in-school fight club, the way that this teacher put it on, is a bad idea. Now, you can wait at 803-0930 because, Joe, I feel like I have heard stories around Western New York of people in school, not in my generation, maybe not even the generation before me, but the one before that, or maybe it was maybe 20 years or so before I was in school, where teachers allowed something like this to happen.
Yes. Now, let me start by saying I'm going to look at this from my own point of view in high school, right? Now, Brian, you might find this hard to believe, but I had a history of running my mouth. Obviously, I didn't have the physical to back that up. All right. And there would be times that I might say the wrong thing in a social setting in school and that person would come looking for me afterward. Luckily, I had friends that were tough and, you know, usually didn't have to get that way. So Fight Club, hey, I agree. It's going to get settled one way or the other, right? It's going to get settled in the classroom or at the flagpole after school. And maybe this is a good idea. However, I also, as someone who can't fight, and the only fight-related detention I ever got was a week of lunch detention because I was doing commentating of a fight in the middle school cafeteria, I'm not sure it's the best idea because I can't look at it from someone who got their rage out in a fight. I would usually just go home and scream really loud, and that would get the rage out of me.
So I can't find anything in here that says anyone was forced to, which is another, right? Like that would be another.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
But like to your point, if you didn't want to, it's not like she's dragging you in here being like, no, you signed the contract, you're getting in the ring.
No, my point is I can't look at it from someone that would say, hey, let's settle this, let's go. Because I was never physically in a position where I could say, hey, let's go, let's settle this. So that's why I can't get it from the point of view of someone that would, yeah, let's freaking go. Probably use a different
word. You would never do that. I think it's also
important. I know my limitations.
But this is middle school, though. This isn't high school. I actually would be, if this was high school, I would say pump the brakes on this. Because when you're in middle school, so that's up to age like 13.
Right.
So, you know, you're 10 to 13 years old. Now, someone's going to say, and anything can happen, right, that could go wrong. But there's limitations to the damage you're going to do in 30 seconds as a middle schooler.
Yes.
Where when you're a little more mature and you're in high school, you're not going to allow that to go on in the classroom, right? Because you could have someone in high school. You ever see these wrestlers in high school who are, you know, like the heavyweights and picking guys up? You have some different limitations there. Or you don't have limitations in high school that you might have in middle school where you could be talking a little bit more serious. Now, over on the text board, we've got a few people. The one person saying the only thing the teacher did wrong was assuming that the demand of no phones would be followed. I mean, that's probably right. And then somebody else, like, aren't you teaching the kids that the way to resolve a disagreement is with fighting instead of words? And you have a point there. But I'm open to creative solutions to problems that are like sprawling out of control inside of schools with violence. And if this is a way that you can give kids a quote-unquote safe area, or at least a somewhat controlled environment to be able to get out a little aggression and ensure that it doesn't escalate into something more, I want to entertain the idea. I'm not saying that it should be your go-to and that every school right now should be starting up a fight club, but I don't know what else is going on in this school. I don't want to immediately shut down this idea as like the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
And I don't 100% disagree with you. I don't want to come across as the wuss here, right? So I don't want to completely disagree with you. However, my only concern would be, Brian, that this would escalate, right? You learn in middle school, hey, this is the way to settle this. And then when there's not the controlled environment in high school, this is when you're seeing, you know, lunch disturbed because 10 people are starting to fight in the middle of the cafeteria. You know, I mean, I get the point, and I'm not, you know, I'm not 100% ready to say, hey, this is awful. I just, as someone who knows, yes, I was never the person that could get in a fight and win. But sometimes, you know, things come to that point. I'm just saying, I don't know if you want to be promoting this is the best way to settle this difference.
Yeah, I don't think you would promote it as the best way to settle this difference.
But that's what you're learning if you're saying, hey, 30 seconds, let's go.
But would it solve your problem?
Temporarily, yes.
I mean, that is a way that throughout history, you have solved some problems.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I don't disagree with that.
And you know what? Like, I want to say, now, here's the difference. Here's where the generational gap goes on. Because we didn't go through middle school and high school in the age of social media. And so I can't speak to what it's like now. But 20 years ago, a fight or something happens in school, and that was the end of it. Like that, it was the end of it. Because one of a couple things happened. Someone won and someone lost, and then it was over. Or what probably more commonly would happen is the fight is just so embarrassingly bad for both people because, you know, nobody knows what they're doing, and it's just like a bear hug, and then everyone gets tired, and then you go on. And everyone's upset for a while, and you don't want to do it again. And it's kind of over.
We had different experiences. At my school, if two people were fighting and nothing was happening, usually a third man in would join the fight. And that's when I would start commentating and then get detention.
So somebody else would come in and join?
Oh, quite regularly. Not that fights were regular, but of the fights I can remember at the middle school level, there would usually be a third person that, hey, look at me, right? Again, I said things that would make people want to fight me, but I never got into the fights. But yeah, there'd be a third person that would get in. I remember that happening a couple times.
I feel like I remember teachers telling me back when I was in high school. You know, back when we were in school, they used to just have us after school, hold us here, put the gloves on us, and tell us to go at and settle our differences. I could be wrong on if that actually happened. That's what I was told.
There was a secret room at the Amherst High School, right, that led to the tunnels, the famous tunnels that connect Amherst High School to Damon College, or Damon University, sorry. And, hey, I heard that some things, you know, like that, would go on there way back in the day.
Like what things, though? Like, I'm talking about, like, sanctioned by the teacher. The teacher would pull the kids aside and say, listen, you two want to fight? Here, you square it off after class. Here you go.
The stories I heard were kids would be sent there to settle their differences. There would be no onlooker. There would be no referee.
Oh, okay.
From the stories I heard.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, is it better than settling it at the flag? Nothing gets settled at the flagpole. I mean, now it gets settled online. Would it be better if it was the other way? B-Maz and Beamer here on WBEN. Back here, Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. On our text board, some people are backing me up this morning that, like, I'm not crazy for hearing this in the past. Like, this isn't the first time. Maybe this teacher was just going back to her past. Someone said, in high school in the 70s, we were sent down to the phys ed teacher. Boxing gloves were provided. Only rule was after you had to shake hands, and it never escalated above that. Friends were made. There definitely is just a different mindset right now. Someone else saying, after a fair fight, somehow real people get closer. Modern problems are what cause more. Maybe that's it. Maybe we're just too far
removed
in a different world than we were back then to ever bring this back in a meaningful way. No one ever asked the follow-up question, like, hey, did this solve the problems? Like that was not in the any of the reports of the fight club at a middle school down in Florida, but I would be interested to know. I think I would be.
Yeah, again, as the person that was never in fights, I can't give a perspective from someone. I've always, I always say, like, oh my gosh, I wish that kid would shut up. That's usually what people were saying about me. My assistant principal in middle school, Mrs. Barnes, great woman. She said, Mr. Beamer, your mouth is going to get you in trouble one day. She would say that every time I ended up in her office, which quite regularly.
Yeah. but then lucky for you, you grew up in an era where nobody fought, so
yeah.
I never did.
That's right.
You never had to answer the bell. I don't know. Maybe we're too far gone into a different era, but, there you go. Anyways, we'll turn our attention, Joe. Yesterday, I brought it up early in the morning, but didn't the rest of the show. We just got going a little too much. Your outfit yesterday was just extraordinary.
It almost, obviously with different clothing, got repeated today, but I said I was too intimidated, so I wore somewhat normal clothing.
Yeah, which, I'm sure is appreciated by somebody.
Yeah.
But just to paint the mental picture, Joe, you're wearing now, like you have the quarter zip pullover.
Yes.
People don't know. It's like the, how would you describe it? It's not like a sweatshirt. It could be a sweatshirt.
It's like Under Armour material. And a quarter zip.
But no, a quarter zip. But it's like the sweatshirt you wear with the zipper that goes up and it has a collar that stands up on it. And the zipper goes down to like the middle of your chest.
Yes.
Or something like that. It's what you see people wear, like a chilly day on the golf course or when a politician is giving a news conference before a snowstorm. They're always wearing one of these things.
Yes.
Just to show, now we're down. Now we're rolling up the sleeves and we mean business. But it's a business casual type of look. So you were wearing that yesterday underneath a hoodie.
Oh, you saw that. Okay. I didn't.
Well, yeah. You saw that. Of course. You had a collar sticking up underneath.
Different one than today, by the way. I'm not wearing the same one 2 days in a row.
Okay.
I'm just like, I don't want people thinking that I'm
I wouldn't
recycling
judge you if
clothing.
You did.
No.
It's an outerwear thing, whatever.
I'm under a sweatshirt all day. It's probably.
Yeah. Well, no, that's the part I'm judging you on, is the underneath the sweatshirt.
Yeah, it was cold.
A collar underneath the hoodie.
Yeah, it was cold yesterday. I was going to take the hoodie off when it got warmer.
Okay. And then, and that was all gray and maroon. And then on the bottom, so like two outer layers on top of each other.
Yep.
And then on the bottom, bright blue gym shorts.
Yeah.
And I was like, I expect it.
Right.
Out of you.
You can't be surprised.
But at the same time, just like, that was a new one for me. That was a new look to where I go, what's going on there? It wakes me up at 5 in the morning, I have to say.
You know, I'm glad that I got the job of, you know, getting you ready to go on the air. Here's the thing. My summer clothes, for the most part, are in the garage. The garage is a walk across the parking lot. I'm not doing that at 4 o'clock. It was warmer than I thought when I woke up. Gym shorts were clean. They were sitting there. I go, I'm going to wear this pair of gym shorts today.
You move your summer clothes to the garage.
You see my apartment. My closet's not that big. And now my closet, because my wife's closet's already smaller, my closet's been cut in half for future baby Beamer, who's going to share that closet. So, yeah, I go by season, and everything else is in bins in our garage.
Okay. Gym shorts, bright blue, not matching to the double outer layer top.
I could have probably gone with a better pair of gym shorts. I have a lot of gym shorts. I picked the first off the pile.
But it begs the question to me, like, what is the office setting for people out there? Office setting, and then, you know, you can tell us for your workplace, too, if that's outside of the office. How far can you go with the dressing down? We, you know, we've talked a lot. We've gotten a lot more casual over the last few years, right? In society, just in general. I wore Easter Sunday mass. I was wearing jeans, collared shirt on top, but with a pair of jeans. I mean, that's it. More dressed up than that is a full suit for me. Like, there's no real in between. I don't have like khakis.
There's no khakis and a button up.
No, okay. not really. I am not a khakis and a button up type of person.
Jeans
and a button up shirt. Yeah. I'll wear that. But I did feel like I was walking in, and I did feel a little bit like, oh, you know, I'm really pushing the envelope here. Like 15 years ago, this would not have flied. And I know this, you know, a little bit more of a casual atmosphere in church now. But like, wow, I'm walking in here Easter Sunday. I am wearing a pair of jeans, like as nice as I thought that I looked outside of that.
Were there other people wearing jeans?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I still, like, you had that kind of feeling there. But what at work? So today, Joe, I wore my version of like the most casual I think I can be at work.
Okay.
Maybe not.
I've seen you wear sweatpants to work.
When?
Didn't you wear... No, maybe not. Okay.
I have not worn sweatpants
Never.
To work. No.
Not even during the pandemic?
No. Well, when I was working from home?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
When I didn't actually physically go in, yeah, I was wearing sweatpants. But to here, I've never worn sweatpants. But this is as close as you get. I'm wearing pants, camo patterned, but they are pants. They're yes. like slack pants.
Yeah.
And a black sweater. Like, that is as casual as I can feel like I can take it. I've worn t-shirts to work before. Like, a t-shirt is fine. If everything is fitting well, you got it, like, a look up, and it's not a t-shirt with, like, something big, like, emblazoned across the front. Like, you know, it doesn't say Cheers on it or something. You know, I don't know. Like, but, like, you can do that, maybe. Like, the pocket tee and stuff like that. But, like, how far does casual go now in 2023?
See, here's my excuse. And yesterday was a bad day because it was the one day that the office is full. But usually my thinking is, well, I'm only going to see, and, you know, I love seeing you guys every morning, you know, Susan, Brian, Jimmy. But I'm only going to see Susan, Brian, and Jimmy. You know what I mean? Like, why dress up? That's how I go into it. So if this is going to be comfortable, I'm throwing it on. That's how my mindset has changed since we have a mostly empty office while we're here.
I always feel like I need to put something on that I would not wear lounging around the house. Like, that is my, like, going into where I need the feeling of putting something on that's a little bit different than what I would wear on the couch.
Okay.
Something I would not burp my baby in.
Yeah, see, I'm there are days, and I don't want to admit this because I hate that this is the way I think, but there are days, Brian, where I say, you know what? I just want a loose waist and a bulky hoodie and walk into work. I know I shouldn't be that way because I would probably be mad if I saw someone else dressed like that, but some days I just want to be comfortable.
But like how, like where is the line on the casual, depending on where people work? I say, now I would say here, there
is no line.
There apparently is no line.
I've seen people come here in pajamas.
But like, I always thought too, there's a difference between on the night, over the weekend, and like during the day and a weekday.
Yes, you're right. I am starting to dress during the week like I do on Sundays when I come in here for Hardline, and that should be different.
But there is like a softening of everything.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to push back on the softening just a little bit.
You know, I'm not completely against that because even though I am the subject here of the guy that wore gym shorts to work yesterday, I've also talked about how I wish people would dress up more often.
It was also, part of the gym shorts thing was it was 40 degrees.
But when we left, it was 50. That was the whole point.
Yeah, still. 50 is not.
50 is.
It's not 65.
But 50 is hoodie and shorts in Buffalo. With the sun shining?
Yeah. Like, maybe, yeah. Yeah, like, maybe. When I go to the game tomorrow night, I might wear shorts.
There it is.
5 o'clock in the morning, heading on to work. I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, it was a last second decision. That's what was sitting there. Boom.
But
I do wish people would dress up more. Like I'm going completely 180 on my reaction to yesterday. But I wish people would dress up more. Now I have to lose a little weight before I can fit into.
I need a photo of you from yesterday, and I'm just going to put the quote. I wish people would dress up.
You took a picture of me
more.
Yesterday?
No, but I wish I did so that I could
I do. My excuse is I need to lose some weight to actually fit into my dressy clothes, which is on me. But I do wish people would dress up more. I wish we would start like suited up Monday or something. We tried that once. It went over well.
I don't want a theme day. I will put my foot down at a theme day.
I want to go back to the 90s. I want theme days. I want theme restaurants. I'm all in on the themes.
I don't think you need a theme day. But there's like and I'll tell you, here's the one that I've noticed more and more that like bugs me for some reason. And it's like work / like professional culture. And I understand why it's happened because it would be more convenient than the alternative. Might be comfier too. But I see all the time people walking around to work in like dress clothes, sometimes even in a suit,
yeah,
with a backpack. And now, back in the day, where you used to seeing if you wore a suit, you would have maybe a briefcase with you if you had to carry some things around. There's, you know, other bags now. Everyone has a laptop. It's like a fancier computer bag, but it's still kind of like that briefcase kind of, you know, satchel bag type. But now all the time, it's more and more, it's people wearing a backpack. And my initial reaction is like, are you 12? When I see a guy, like, I
don't
understand.
Work.
I don't think this applies to you.
Okay, good.
But like I go out in the lobby and I see people dress nice. They have a suit and tie and a backpack. And I just can't imagine walking into any sort of business meeting wearing a backpack and having people take you seriously.
Yeah, I will agree with you on that. Even though I do understand wanting to carry your stuff around with you.
But it's how that became the norm is just, it's very befuddling to me.
I think in 2023, ignore the backpack. They're wearing a suit. You know what I mean? They're dressed up.
Yeah, I don't like, it's a suit with like probably,
but that's the mindset.
Sneakers and a backpack.
Yeah.
You look like the eighth grader who's giving the presentation at the science fair today. Carl in here on WBEN. I don't know. Like what's dressing up? What's dressing down in the office to you?
Well, right now, I just wear a long button-down shirt, untucked, over my stretch pants. But when I started in radio broadcasting in 77 down here, I had bought a whole collection of these beautifully color-printed T-shirts. You've probably seen the tuxedo shirt. I had one of those, but most of the ones that I wore every day in radio were, one was a doctor's shirt. He had a real nice tie and medical instruments in the pocket of the shirt, and I had a mechanic shirt with mechanics tools printed on it, and it looked quite real at a distance, and the ones that had the real nice-looking tie as part of the shirt, I would wear a sports jacket over that shirt whenever we go to church every Sunday. So at a distance, it looked like I was wearing a tie. And it actually looked pretty good. And I still have all those shirts today, but I'm too fat to wear them. So I just look at them every
Join
now
the club,
and then
Carl.
And reminisce.
Join the club, Carl.
All right, Carl, thank you. You would probably call him Quirky Carl around the office, and everyone would have a laugh. And you do have leeway, but you see this in TV news too, right? And radio, you have the leeway of people not watching you all the time. On television, though, you see people get dressed down a little bit more, and I don't mind it that much. Like, I don't think everyone needs to be buttoned up, suit and tie all the time. I think there's probably limits to it, right? Like, you don't have to have the tie on all the time, I don't think.
Right.
I don't know you how to don't... tie. I mean, you know, why am I surprised? Right. why? I was about to like, well, you don't know how to tie a tie.
No, every tie I have is pre-tied by my dad. And then when I have to wear it,
come on.
Yeah.
How old are you?
34.
You have pre-tied ties from your dad hanging in your closet?
Yes, I do.
Joe.
What?
You just tie the tie.
I've watched YouTube videos. I never can do it as well as my dad does.
You can do it. 11-year-olds can do it.
Yeah, they can. I don't want to throw any of my friends under the bus, but I also have another friend who also cannot tie his own ties. So I'm not the only one. And he wears ties more than I do. Just saying.
Who ties his tie for him?
He has a few pre-tied ties, and he'll wear a clip-on. So.
Oh, my goodness.
At least I'm not wearing a clip-on.
It would be funny if he had his kids tie his tie for him in the morning because dad can't do it.
No, I am going to learn. I'm going to finally learn how to tie a tie so I can teach my son how to tie a tie.
Okay. I hope that.
I finally have that momentum.
You gotta start soon.
Yeah. My dad always tried to teach me and I just ignored him. So now I'll have to have him teach me how to tie a tie and actually listen.
When was the last time you went to your dad and be like, hey, can you tie this for me?
Well, most of the ties I have are already pre-tied. So I think the last time he actually had a tie was probably my wedding.
But the knot gets all... So you loosen them up and then tighten them up?
Yeah.
The knot gets... Every time you do that, the knot is getting, deformed.
Well, then no one's told me it looks like crap.
If I'm your dad, at some point, I'm just like, no.
Yeah?
You go tie-less.
No.
Or tie it yourself.
He won't let that happen.
I know. He's too nice of a guy.
Yeah.
But... You know, come on. You tie the tie. The backpack, I can't get over. It makes you look like a 12-year-old going to school. You can get away with a more casual dress now. I don't think the backpack is ever exudes confidence in a person who really has
control over anything. But I think you're talking about me.
Well, the backpack thing, I'm not. The backpack is almost exclusively people with suits.
Okay.
I mean, the backpack.
I pack my day in the backpack.
My work bag is a reusable shopping bag.
Yeah.
I mean, the bag I don't think applies. The bag is more for business people.
What if a business person had your bag as their bag?
I mean, that would be hilarious. That would be worse than the backpack for sure. But if you are going into some meeting holding either of those, but wearing a backpack, I just can't imagine that's somebody's got to be
What do you carry in a briefcase anymore anyway? It used to be papers that you would pass out, but now everything's, hey, I sent this to your email.
Yeah, your laptop, right? It would have to be, it wouldn't be an old school briefcase. It would have to be some sort of laptop bag.
Bag, yeah.
But I still feel that's more...
I feel like people are going away from laptops, too. Hey, everything's on your tablet. Or I sent it to
your phone, right? I mean, you don't need a laptop for too much. outside of like your office, I would imagine.
Right. I don't
you
think
send emails on your phone, check them on your phone, like do everything you could on your phone. So begs the question, what's in that backpack? Snacks like, that mom packed.
It's like Kramer. He's got crackers in his briefcase.
Joe, you have some backup here. Someone said they're 34 and all of their ties are pre-tied. I mean, come on.
Right.
Like, just learn how to tie a
Finally,
tie, people.
See?
What's going on? Somebody else, too. You got like three.
Yeah.
All right. So no more fights in school. No one ties the tie. Everyone wears a backpack.
Hey, by the way, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I have not learned how to tie a tie. That's it. I think I've accomplished a few things in my life.
I'm not saying that you haven't. I'm just like that. I feel like that's a basic. You tell me you don't know how to tie a bow tie. I'm like, well, yeah. Like, when are you wearing a bow tie? Like, come on.
Once in my entire life.
Yeah, that's you're never doing that. And even that, like, that's probably like a clip on around the neck bow tie.
Yeah.
An actual tie, though. You wear that pretty frequently. Enough to learn like three steps.
All right. We're going to try. Right. Now, this means I have to untie a tied tie.
Bring it in tomorrow.
Untie it here?
And we'll film you doing it.
All right. We'll try.
All right. We'll be back here tomorrow. B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN.